This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me in Little Rock, Arkansas, for a visit with Stephanie Wade, director of the Historic Arkansas Museum. Located in the heart of downtown Little Rock, the museum includes the town's oldest building, the circa 1827 Hinterleiter Grog Shop, along with other historic structures and a blacksmith shop. Within the two-story museum, there's an array of Arkansas-crafted treasures, including clothing, dolls, furniture, and paintings. There's also a gallery featuring contemporary Arkansas-made items, from quilts to crafts and decorative fine arts.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Wade, director of Historic Arkansas Museum.
This is the State Museum of History.
We are definitely the main place for Arkansas history. Of course, there are other museums in the state, but this one houses the historic homes from 1820 to 1850s. We also are the largest collectors of Arkansas-made decorative, fine art, mechanical arts. And we have a huge collection inside and also at a storage facility.
And that's more focused on historical stuff or even recent handmade?
We also have recent work as well, and we have a gallery upstairs inside the museum building where we showcase contemporary artists as well. I think people aren't quite as familiar with that, but that is something that we do, as well as territorial and early statehood fine arts and decorative arts.
And you have the oldest house in the entire town or the state right here?
We have the oldest house in Little Rock, the Hinterleiter Grog Shop, and it was built in 1827 by Jesse Hinterleiter, a German immigrant, and it is still standing and it is there. We would have the original over here with the Woodruff Print Shop, which was 1821, but the original structure was destroyed.
So literally where we are in downtown Little Rock today, this was the nucleus, the birthplace of the town?
That's right, and it really began with the river just a few blocks over. That is where the Little Rock was founded and where people started gathering, bringing in products from the river. And yes, then the town just slowly developed from right there. And they say that the Hinterleiter Grog Shop is where the territorial representatives first started meeting to discuss creating a state capital. And two of the houses on our grounds, the Brownlee and the McVicker, there were stonemasons from Scotland who lived there, and they came here to help build the old state house, which is still there a few blocks away, as our territorial capital and our first state capital.
Okay, let's reel back to Little Rock and the Little Rock, which I saw yesterday, which originally was not a Little Rock. Tell us that story.
That's right. Well, it's documented that in 1722, Bernard de la Harpe, a French explorer, was traveling up the Arkansas River from Arkansas Post, and which was the original territorial capital, and came to this site where he saw an outcropping of rocks. And there was a smaller version, and then across the river on the North Little Rock side, there was a larger version. And so the little version was the La Petite Roche and was Little Rock.
Okay, but the Little Rock at the time was a big rock.
It was a big rock.
And so somebody blew it up, right?
That's right. And there's a little bit of the original outcropping left, but not like it was. And then there's a piece of it that's been brought onto the shore and formed a little exhibit around it.
And it's really cool. That's in a city park. a parkway where you can stroll along for a long distance right along the riverfront.
That's right, the Riverfront Park. Yes, it's very nice. The city has really done a great job in developing that with bike paths, walking paths. There's a wonderful sculpture garden there, the River Market Sculpture Garden, in which there's an amphitheater. We have the Whit Stevens Natural Area Center. It really, there's a lot of neat things to see, and biking trails that now connect across some of the bridges.
Let's go back to your home zone here at the History Center. Granted, we're coming out of a very strange days.
Yes.
but I remember being here about 4 or 5 years ago, and you had all these period reenactors, musicians. It was festive. It was cool. And I bet that sort of stuff is on your planning plate right now.
It sure is. We absolutely are going to continue with our living history and reenacting. We're going to focus more on third-person reenactments of the people who lived in this place, but also trades, and whether it's laundry or candle making, or we would like to bring in a silversmith. We have an incredible blacksmithing operation that is open every week, and really highlight those trades. That is something that we're definitely working on to increase and get back to having that on the grounds at least once a month, but we're going to hope for more.
And live music.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we had to put a lot of that on hold. Mm-hmm. Every month, Second Friday Art Night, the other museums also participate in the Downtown Little Rock Partnership, but it's a great festive thing with music on the grounds and people visiting, and it's inside and outside open, so it's very good, and we definitely will have that picked back up.
So in addition to the Pioneer Homes on the grounds, inside is a beautiful, two-story building.
It is. It's two stories with gallery space. Mm-hmm. We have about 8 exhibit areas and really about 5 that are a good size.
If we had an hour and you could take me on a highlight tour, where would we go first and second?
First, our largest exhibit hall is the Cave Gallery. Right now there's a quilt exhibit in there, but that is going to come down in the next few weeks. And we are preparing for our big opening of our newest exhibit called Conspicuous Consumption, which is going to showcase the living rooms and the parlors of people of this time period in the early 1800s. Mm-hmm. And because that's where they, of course, would display their finest things. So we've recreated that wallpaper, everything, authentically. And that's going to open September 10th. We also have a knife gallery that is permanent, which is under construction right now. But we hope to get that back together in the next 6 months, which is with our Bowie knife #1 displayed here. That's a very popular gallery.
I bet.
And then we have a Native American gallery, the Cromwell Gallery, that we've partnered with the Smithsonian and their Native American Museum on artifacts, highlighting the tribes that were here in this time period, and that is also a permanent exhibit.
Over the big scheme of things of time, school groups central to your mission here. I've been here when little people are zooming around.
Yes.
Over your time, what are the most epiphanous moments you've observed in and amongst the kids in their sense of getting it relative to living history?
It's always challenging, and you hope that they do connect with something, but of course the living history demonstrations, of course. And when they go to the print shop and they get to work the press and hear about Woodruff's life and establishing the state's newspaper from this building, you know, those are the things that really grab the kids, of course. And the education department does such a good job with activities and games and things to help them see.
And for those field trips, those seeds are planted. And I bet you meet kids later that will recall.
Yes. Yeah. I am one of those kids. I came here as a child frequently and did those field trips, and my parents would bring me. And yes, I just love this place.
So
it's funny that, here I am now.
So you might not have majored in history if it wasn't for this site.
That's right. I was just always drawn to that, always fascinated by stories from the past and how people lived, and just kind of imagining how I would have been in that period or what I would have done. Yeah.
So very epiphanous for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, one more highlight of a walkthrough experience here at the museum.
Well, gosh, I mean, besides the grounds and inside, we have an incredible farmstead, 1850s, across the street as well.
And so you're growing original crops that they would have grown?
Exactly. We have a partnership with the Master Gardeners and the Arkansas chapter of the Herb Society. Yes, all of the herbs, the vegetables, the plants, the flowers, everything you see is something that would have grown from early 1800s through 1850s. So, yes, so, the grounds are beautiful. They're just a joy anyway to come and walk.
So, again, this would be a part of a greater walking tour of the heart of downtown Little Rock.
Yes.
Because you can walk almost anywhere, any historic site, including the old Capitol, right?
That's right. They are just a few blocks away. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, this would fit right into a walking tour.
So you can walk from your downtown hotel and never even use a car.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yes. You certainly could.
Okay. So some of the walkable highlights were you would recommend.
Well, definitely along the River Park that we talked about earlier, the Sculpture Garden, the Old State House, come up to Historic Arkansas Museum. We also have our main library right here and that leads down to the River Market where there are lots of restaurants and shops. If you go a little bit further, you'll get to the Clinton Presidential Library. And all of that is walkable. Just come see us. We would love to have your listeners come and check us out. And we have lots of great events as well that we put on here. So hopefully maybe it'll fall on a fun weekend where we've got some fun things happening on the grounds.
Yeah, some live music.
That's right, live music and our reenactors. And so that would be wonderful.
Somebody wanted to learn more about the History Museum here in the heart of Little Rock.
Go to arkansasheritage.org, and that is our parent organization and state agency, and you will find Historic Arkansas Museum listed under that, and it'll give all of our details and more general information. And I'm Stephanie Wade, Executive Director.
Stephanie, what a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Little Rock, Arkansas. We'll see you here.
Writing support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities, such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter, down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolf, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust preservation initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.